Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Belichick and Tom Brady are on good terms. And that's interesting because obviously when you look back at Brady's divorce from the New England Patriots, I'm not sure they were always on great terms. They had that secret meeting in the locker room after Brady returned with the Bucs to play the Patriots. It seems like now they are all good. That is another good sign. The other thought is, where the heck was this last year? Belichick was actually free last year. Do I think he's going to say goodbye to North Carolina after just a couple weeks? It seems like a long shot, I will say that. But it feels like teams missed their window a little bit. Belichick was literally a free agent last year. The only team that wanted to meet with him was the Falcons. Met with him twice. They ended up hiring Raheem Morris. He was right there, the greatest coach of all time. Now a year later, you want to talk to him? Do you want to just pick his brain? Or do you want to really hire him? I feel like teams missed their opportunity, and that still seems odd to me, considering last year, this is what it should have been like.
Ian Rappaport last night on the NFL Network. I think he gets a lot wrong there, quite frankly.
Well, you know,
number one,
taking a stab at it.
This isn't real interest. So, like, yeah, he was available last year. Nobody wanted him. He was available this offseason. Nobody wanted him. He went to North Carolina. Nobody still wants him.
Well,
you have that wrong.
It was because it was a Pellicero report. It was a coworker of his. So he's not going to, like, bury that.
No, good point. Good point.
So he's like, of course there is. I'm just going to take it at its word.
But, okay, so he's doing his coworker a solid. Fair point. But he's wrong.
Yeah.
And two, the secret meeting with Brady and Bill. Do you remember how quickly we found out about that?
Yeah, we heard about that.
The secret meeting between those two.
There was a lengthy story written about it.
Serious. I mean, but we knew about it before there was even a story.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know,
right,
before
right.
Wickersham even came out with the behind. It was like later that day we knew about it. Wasn't a secret meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure to let you know they had a meeting. So will Bill Belichick coach in the NFL again? It doesn't sound like it's going to be with the Raiders. Despite a story we got to in most of the second half of the show yesterday, Diana Russini pretty much poured water on it right away. I'm told Belichick's sole focus is coaching and recruiting for North Carolina as he continues to build for the Tar Heels' future. He has no plans to return to the NFL, according to sources. That was Russini yesterday. Vincent Bonsignore?
Nailed it.
Gnore?
Yep.
For the Vegas Journal Review. The sense I'm getting on the Raiders Belichick, per sources, the talks are more about Brady picking his brain on a search process and traits rather than trying to bring him to Vegas as the head coach, which I think we surmised in real time.
Yeah.
Brady called him. What do you think of candidate X? What do you think of candidate Y? How do you think candidate Z would play? And then, oh, by the way, Bill, would you have any interest? Ha ha. I mean, I think that's probably how that call went down. So I think he's at the University of North Carolina. I don't think he's going anywhere. And to tie it back to McDaniels for a moment, that's why if McDaniels does get an offer in New England,
yeah,
he'd be stupid not to take it.
He's probably the only one.
I wouldn't hire him, but I wouldn't decline a real offer in New England if there was one.
Right.
And it sounds like Bedard and Fowler think there will be. I wouldn't decline it to stay loyal to Bill.
No, and that was my original thought, was that, you know, do you want to cross Bill? But not that Bill's necessarily going to help you with a spot. And also, if it was really that bad, and I think it kind of is between Bill and Robert, but Bill's youngest son is still on the staff. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like a complete screw you. He didn't have Brian take a job in college or Brian go somewhere or get him a job somewhere else. He did stay there. So maybe McDaniels could come back, sort of sell it as like, hey, I don't have really a lot of opportunities. I don't want to go to college with you. I want to go to the pros and I can work with Drake May. The other positive to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, you're right. He could sell it to Bill.
He could.
I don't know that Bill's going to listen, but he could try to sell it to Bill.
No, maybe not. But the other positive, I think, in hiring McDaniels, and you could argue over how, you know, is he the best candidate versus not and all that other stuff. He's not a flight risk. Most really good offensive coordinators.
No, that's for sure.
2 good years at Drake May, boom, that guy's a head coach somewhere. Josh McDaniels isn't going anywhere.
Well,
like he could be his only offensive coordinator.
It's true. This is the problem, independent of McDaniels, with Mike Vrabel. If he brings in Tommy Reese, if he brings in Josh McCown, this is the problem with bringing in a defensive coach, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I guess you could lose it with Campbell could lose it with Ben Johnson too. But the idea is you bring in an offensive guy who calls his own play and it's his scheme. And he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, where would Ben Johnson go if he were the head coach here with Drake May and it was working? Where's he going?
No, that you Nowhere. Hopefully coach there forever.
But you're right. McDaniels might solve that problem.
Yeah.
I also don't think...
Because they have... This will be their fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I don't think it's a super high ceiling with McDaniels, which probably sounds crazy because he won Super Bowls here in New England. But remember,
yeah,
they won before McDaniels got here, at least as the play caller and offensive coordinator, and Brady won again without him,
right,
which tells me he was pretty irrelevant to the winning. He did get Mac to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing, yeah, but when we're talking about a high ceiling... Your cannon fodder for the Bills on wild card weekend?
Yeah, there's also the question, like, well, how come you didn't have any modicum of success anywhere else? You know, so even the year, even if you want to give him the Matt Castle year, right, that helped get him the job in Denver. But when you didn't have Bill coaching the defense or Bill being the head coach, you know, your stops in Denver, St. Louis at the time, and Vegas weren't bad. They were atrocious. They were like all time bad. Like,
yeah,
fired in season twice bad.
Like, again, Tom Brady couldn't sell McDaniels as the offensive coordinator in Vegas.
That's how bad it is.
Because it's that bad.
Yeah. However, we're talking about some of these other names linked to Vrabel. You're like, all right, maybe McDaniels isn't the worst one,
yeah,
to go with Vrabel.
These are reasons why I don't like, I shouldn't say I don't like Vrabel. Vrabel is fine, but I think you can do better. That's how I should phrase it. We'll get more into, I think, the justification for hiring Vrabel. Second day in a row. It was Chad Graff yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Herald today. Doug Kyden, Andrew Callahan. We'll give you more from that story coming up. Aiden is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Aiden.
Hi. I just want to go back to what Tony said earlier. He called in, like, I think right before me, and he said that it doesn't matter who's going to be the coach, who's going to be the quarterback. We're going downhill regardless. And I just have to say I couldn't disagree more. We got a franchise quarterback, Drake May. We should really have some confidence in him. And now that Mayo's gone, and by the way, Mayo is the worst coach in New England Patriots history. And I couldn't say that with any more confidence. That is 100% the truth. And now that we're going to hopefully have Mike Vrabel, and we're going to have Drake May back there, maybe get T. Higgins, and hopefully we don't screw up our draft pick this year. You know what? We're going to have some weapons, and I think we could have a great offense this year. We already have a pretty good defense, and I think next year is going to be, it's going to be a Patriots year.
Okay, so Aiden, I agree with you.
Not on the
it's your year. I was just going to say.
Rod Rust has
who's the worst Patriots coach?
He sounds like a younger dude, so like really a lot of people only remember three total coaches. Three or four.
Parcells, like, Carroll, I mean.
Bill, four with Mayo.
Thank you.
So like obviously Mayo's the worst out of those four, but Rod Rust also lasted 1 year. 1990, they went 1-15.
1-15. Who was after Rod Rust?
McPherson.
And he went 2-14.
He went 6-10 first, then nice. 2-14, then Parcells came in.
Okay.
But that's semantics.
No, the other piece.
He's one of the worst.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no doubt.
He's two or three.
Yeah.
He's probably not one, but he's two or three.
I mean, even if you wanted to open it up, maybe some slow day in the summer, we can do all time Boston coaches and managers.
I mean, Mayo is.
He's on that list.
Mayo's the Patriots Bobby Valentine. I said this the second they fired him. He is their Bobby Valentine.
Yep.
I mean, and Bobby Valentine had way more success before he got the job, so maybe it's not a perfect analogy there.
Overall, though, like, I agree with the caller more than the previous one. Be like, you have Drake May, you have a shot. The NFL is set up for parity.
This is what I was going to say. He's right about that. Don't give them the excuse of they're 2 or 3 years away. No.
No, you can do it sooner than that.
May, I disagree with that last offseason before you even knew you had the quarterback. Never mind, you might have two, according to Robert Kraft.
Maybe you have two.
Last offseason, you go, we're 3 or 4 years away because you got to let the quarterback marinate and let him sit, and it's going to take a while. Nope, that's done. You know Drake May can play. Maybe we overrate him. I'll acknowledge that. But you know he can play. I think we all feel comfortable saying that. Mm-hmm. Is he a franchise guy? Is he going to win you Super Bowls? We'll find out. But he can play. And now you have a ton of money to spend and the fourth overall pick. You're not 3 or 4 years away from being competitive.
No, God, no.
So, yeah, don't let him off the hook with that. Gerard Mayo not being let off the hook. I get the sense, Keith. You don't even like the piling on. You're like, it's so unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary.
Stop. He's already dead.
Like week 8, we knew he ain't it. And we were like, all right, like, do they possibly fire him in season or they move on or do they make a mistake? Because I always thought they were going to keep him and it was going to be a mistake. They're going to fire everybody else and Kraft was going to say he's our guy. But none of the fans, myself included, thought he was a good coach or thought he should be back. And now they're like, they fire him. Everyone's like, hey, great first move. And it's like, let me tell you all the reasons why he sucked. It's like, we already know why he sucked.
Stop. He's already dead.
So I agree with
That's what I feel like
there's
this is.
There's no pushback. Hardly anyone is like, Mayo deserved more time.
Give Mayo another shot.
Maybe I've heard a little bit, a tiny bit of, well, if Wolf is getting another year, why isn't Mayo getting another year? Like, I've heard a tiny bit of that.
So that is more, and I agree with that. That's fine.
Yeah, they should have had the same fate.
They should both be gone.
Yeah.
How is Wolf better than Mayo? He's not.
Correct. Well, he is, when we did this, he's slightly better, but I would have fired both.
Yeah, barely. And I guess the reason I would say is maybe Robert Kraft stood in the way of Wolf more so than he stood in the way of Mayo.
Yeah.
But that's still not a pro-Mayo take. That's just taking down Wolf with him. Yeah. Like, that's all that's doing.
It's taking down an F and an F minus is what that's doing.
Like, okay, great.
So yesterday was Chad Graff. I thought the subtext of that story from ownership is we rushed Mayo. He wasn't ready. We're not going to do that again. We're bringing in an adult in the room. Okay. And Vrabel will be that. And I mentioned this earlier in the show, just as an aside. I wondered aloud. I'm like, we keep saying that about Vrabel. Were there any incidents in Tennessee, you know, feuding with players or issues with discipline? We looked at it quick. We got to do a deeper dive, but I haven't found much to this point.
I don't think so. I think it was more John Robinson famously with the A.J. Brown trade.
Which Vrabel was right about.
Like, he 100%
was,
right.
He was feuding with the personnel guy there, which I guess isn't ideal, but he was right. He wanted to keep A.J. Brown.
And then maybe ownership got a little prickly when he was very complimentary of the Patriots, which, again, wouldn't be an anti-Patriots thing at all. So then there was also, like, the whole, they have a weird timeline with their GMs. So they basically sided with Vrabel over Robinson, but then they hired our guy Ranrick, and they kept him for a year, and then Ranrick fired him, but then they fired Ranrick. So, like, the Titans are a mess.
The Titans are a mess. Vrabel was successful in spite of it.
Right, and they were much, much worse. You could say, like, you fired Belichick, and here comes Mayo, same win total. I know it was more of a circus, but it was the same win total. They fired Vrabel, and it got worse.
And Vrabel's last 2 years were pretty bad.
They were,
It's gotten worse. So, the latest today is from Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide in the Boston Herald. I think this is more, and it's more blaming players than blaming Mayo, but who sets the culture within the locker room? You know, that is the head coach. And so I think you're still blaming Mayo for it. And the justification, again, is we're going to have an adult in the room, and Vrabel didn't have a lot on this on his watch in Tennessee. So I read you a couple of items earlier today. We'll read you more here. Mayo wasn't ready for the coaching gig is one thing they touched on.
No way. Give me 30 reasons why.
After the Patriots won the Cincinnati game, rather, the coaches say after we won, Mayo was the happiest guy bouncing off walls during the week. The happiest guy in the world, one staffer remembered.
Well, you're 1-0. He's undefeated as a head coach. He should be happy.
And after we lost, it was like someone shot his dog. So I agree. Being happy after the first win.
I take losses hard.
Happy after wins and down after losses. I don't think that's the end of the world.
That's actually probably a good thing. If they were like, he was thrilled after a loss.
The source content. Yeah, I would have expected him to not even care after a loss.
Right.
In fact, that's what we criticized him for with the Arizona game, where he was in the back of the plane playing cards like he didn't even care.
Yeah.
I would have assumed more of that. So I actually am encouraged that he was down after losses, but the source continued, and this is more critical. Meanwhile, most of us are in there watching tape after the Bengals game, and it's like, oh, crap, we were lucky to win this game. I don't know if you watched the tape before taking that victory lap. We really lucked out there, and obviously the rest of the season bore that out.
In Mayo's defense, which you don't hear often, he did say post-game,
that's like, not sustainable.
Yeah.
That is true. You're right.
He did say that. Like, even
good
before
point.
Watching the tape, he was like, all right, we're not going to win
good
every
point.
Game this way. So it does run a little counter to that. Doesn't mean he wasn't happy with the win. Because you can be happy with a win and you still look back on it and be like, phew, that was close.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, we got to clean some things up.
No, but it's a good point. The staffer says he had no clue. We were looking at the tape going,
he
it wasn't
say,
that good.
He said that.
But he did say that. In fairness to Mayo, you're right. He did say
but
that.
But in classic Mayo fashion, 2 months later when they beat the Bears, he was like, that's how you do it. And you're like, well, he just said that's not how you do it. Like, you can't just win these low-scoring games, but
yeah,
whatever.
It's hard to keep track of everything.
No, I know.
A source familiar with Robert Kraft's thinking believes the Patriots had flipped one of their December blowout losses to Arizona and later the Chargers, Mayo might have kept his job. So that's telling you it was touch and go there that last month. I think the Chargers sealed his fate, but going into the last month, I think Mayo was largely safe. And if he pulled out another win in one of those games, he could have saved his job.
Yeah, because Kraft said publicly that it was the last month that they really started to think about it. You could question whether that was the case.
Curran had the item where he was like, I reached out in early December during the bye week. I think it was the bye week. And they said, yeah, it's like 90% Mayo's back. Or no, it was if we lose every game 90-0, maybe he won't be back.
So
that's how safe he was on the bye week.
Hypothetically, if they ended the season after the close Bills game, you think he's back?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chargers game really
Chargers
was.
Chargers game ratcheted it up. And Tavai's comments after, we'll get to Tavai in a moment.
Yeah.
More from the Herald. To all the people saying he needed an experienced staff around him to help him find the right answers and find solutions, I don't know if that would have helped, one staffer said. Interesting, the staffers are standing up for themselves.
Of course.
I don't know if he actually would have listened to what they were going to say. He would ask anyone, what do you think the answer is here? Why do you think this is a problem? Can we solve this? He would listen to that person, give their answer, and then say something to the effect of, let me tell you how you're wrong.
That's good. That's a part of the solution.
Well, and again,
he's an ideas man.
He's not afraid of throwing people under the bus, as we found out, I think, about Bill O'Brien. You know, I think is the one who was squawking about this Bill's final year in New England. But it's like Mayo would get in these meetings and be like, our side of the ball is good. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys over there on offense, figure it out. Okay? So Mayo will rub some of these coaches the wrong way. There's insight into that closed-door meeting that Robert Kraft had with the team. Didn't Kraft kind of call that into question in his press conference? He's like, oh, I didn't really get a chance to do that.
Well, no, it sounded like it might not have been really like a back and forth. It might have been like a quick, like, hey
guys, here's what I'm thinking, here's what's going on. So Kraft told the group in a closed-door meeting, two sources inside the room, said Kraft admitted he had rushed to hire Mayo, which is what he said in his statement and in his press conference.
That's fine.
Kraft intimated he had set Mayo up to fail, and by extension, his players and the franchise. Kraft also promised to learn from his mistake in the coming days when he would search for his third head coach in as many years and begin again. And I think, again, the implication there, it's not that different than what he said in his statement and press conference. I'm not going to bring in somebody who's not ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring in somebody who's done it.
No, everything points to Vrabel in that sense, because you can say, hey, we got a guy who's an established guy. We know he's not going to be in over his head. And boom, go from there. And that's how you sell it.
We get some player blame as well.
Oh, good.
Tyquan Thornton was waived by the Patriots.
Yeah. A little too late.
2 days prior to getting waived, November 16th, former second-round pick Tyquan Thornton was late to the facility.
Mm.
He did not practice, according to sources, who added Thornton had checked out mentally after it was clear he wouldn't play anymore. So,
was that
okay.
Week one? I mean, he wasn't really in the mix at all, was he? I mean, I guess...
Yeah, he was lucky to get any snaps.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, Tyquan Thornton was an a-hole. Great.
Yeah. But it also speaks... That, to me, is also an Elliott Wolf problem, where he kept more wide receivers on the roster than any team in the NFL. And none of them were that good. But he had them all on there. So they're all kind of competing for scraps. Remember, there'd be like a healthy scratch. Then there'd be a guy every week that was active but wouldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kept kind of changing.
Yeah, it was like a carousel. It was like a different guy every week.
There was no consistency there.
There's also this. This is from another team staffer to the Herald. You get selfish guys like that being leaders, or at least influencers within the locker room. That's what you're going to get. It's expletive. I'm guessing it's BS is what he's saying.
Like some of our callers earlier, the potty mouth.
So that's about Jelani Tavai. So Tavai's at least still here.
Yeah.
Like Tyquan Thornton scapegoated. All right, so you had some selfish players and some players running amok and not carrying themselves in the right way. That does go back to the head coach. I mean, we can call out some players by name, as the story does. But largely that goes back to the head coach. Tyquan Thornton's gone. I have no problem with Jelani Tavai being gone. You can kick a bunch of these guys off the roster. I didn't want any of them back 2 years ago. I couldn't believe they re-signed as many guys as they did from the loser 4-win team with Bill.
Once again, an Elliott Wolf issue, right? Like, Bill left, and you're still going to blame Bill, and yet you retained almost all of his guys.
Yeah,
you brought back everybody.
Bill will tell you they're his guys. That's
you
true.
You brought back, first of all, I mean, the staff wasn't too far apart. It was, Alex Van Pelt was new, but Mayo and Covington were the same. I mean, obviously the whole Mayo thing, but like Mayo and Covington, so you're like, all right, we're going to re-sign on Wenu, and we're going to re-sign everybody else that might get away, Anfernee Jennings and Peppers and everybody, and then they put it all on Bill and Mac, and they were like, Bill was not a good coach anymore, and Mac was a horrible quarterback, so we're going to be a lot better. And they weren't.
So the piling on of Jerod Mayo continues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, enough's enough, guys. Let's cool it.
Right. If you were making the case, I would have appreciated this. Text line is pointing this out. I would have appreciated this, before he got fired, because then it's like, get him out of here. Fire him after one year.
They wait.
Now that he's gone, and this isn't a criticism of Callahan or Kide or even Chad Graff yesterday, but it's like, okay, I would have got it more if the guy hadn't already lost his job. What do you want us to do now? It's like, yeah, they were bad, and Mayo was bad, and the players were all selfish a-holes, and yeah, we get it. That's how it looked from the outside all year long. So I'm thankful for some of the details.
Do you think Mayo ever punches back at all? Not him doing Instagram live or something.
I think through his people, he's going to punch back at Wolf.
Some source is going to. Yeah, I don't think he'll do it with Kraft.
He did it with Wolf on the record this year.
Yeah, right. Right.
Like, he was like, yeah, I mean, what did he say again? Our roster is what it is. He didn't say that. But he criticized
the cards we were dealt.
Yeah, you were all dealt.
That's what it was.
Hand,
yeah, we were all. Exactly. So it's like, he was criticizing Wolf.
He's like, I won't say the roster's good or bad.
On the record. Said. He's not going to punch back at Kraft, I don't think.
No, probably not.
I think he's too smart to do that. You pointed out the other day, too. It's like, if you get labeled as the coach who's going to rip your owner, you're never going to get another job.
No, they're going to be like, why do I bring you in if it doesn't work?
You rip Elliott Wolf? Yeah, I could see him punching back that way. 617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls there. We've been taking your Patriots plans all day long, fixing the Patriots coaching staff and front office. You got WEI afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. It's Thursday, which means it's a Tommy Thursday. He'll join the guys at 3:30 here on WEI. We have our clip du jour, and it's time for Grab Bag!
Going to bed, and my stomach is sick, and it's all in my head, but she's touching his
Grab Bag.
It's time for Grab Bag! It's time for Grab Bag!
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program. And Jones, we did talk to Andrew Raycroft about the struggling Boston Bruins, as well as Mom's Weekend, or the Mom's Trip.
It was a lot of mom talk.
A lot of mom talk.
Yeah. Some say not enough.
Maybe not enough, but they're there.
The moms have gone wild.
Will they help break the losing streak for the Bees? They've lost 5 in a row. They got Tampa Bay tonight. Bruins have a lot of games out of hand. So they're ahead of Tampa in the standings, and yet I think it's 5 more games they've played.
As of the other day, it was. I don't know if did Tampa play last night. I don't know.
No,
yeah,
so it's 5
games. The other day was 5, yeah.
5 fewer games. And Razor brought up a point. Now, it's an obvious point, but you don't really think about this. It's so easy to get points in the NHL, like the loser point and everything else, that if you go 5, 6, 7, 8 games, because they go Tampa Bay, Florida, Tampa Bay, their next 3, and if you don't, I guess they have 1 point on this streak so far.
Yeah.
But let's say you score 1 point in over a week, teams are going to be passing you by left and right.
They already had, like, we were talking last week or maybe the week prior or whatever. Right? No, it was probably late last week when we came back from New Year's.
Yep.
The holidays.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, the Bruins are comfortably in the playoffs. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. The question is, how far are they going to go and how do you go on a run? Now, a week later, when they haven't won and they picked up 1 point in that time, that whole cushion that they had.
Yeah.
And that was only a cushion to the wild card spots. They basically weren't even in. If you clicked on the standings, they were 3rd in the Atlantic. But as you said, Tampa was so many points out of hand.
Yep.
And even Ottawa was back there. All those teams have caught up. And now
out of hand. Although they lost 3 in a row. So you're
teetering on being out of the playoffs.
So, right. So another way of putting it is they're at the halfway point of the season. The Bruins have 45 points. The Pittsburgh Penguins have the most points that are not in the playoffs, and it's 42.
Mm-hmm. And they have a game?
They have 1 game in hand. Now, they've also lost 4 in a row, so they're on the wrong side of it. But I always kind of thought playoffs was a lock, even with some of the struggles. I'm like, they'll be a playoff team. And anytime I'd say they're not,
I think they will be too.
I'd look at the standings, and you're like, all right, what 8 teams are going to be ahead of them? But it's not a slam dunk anymore.
No,
they got to get their heads out of their
asses. It's not a slam dunk. But ask me to wager on it. I think they will be a playoff
team.
But to answer your first question, do they win with the moms?
Hell yeah. And we say, you know what, moms? You go on every trip.
I'm saying no.
We say put the moms on all the trips. No?
I don't think the orange slices are going to help.
Oh, son of a gun.
I hope they do.
All right.
But I don't think so.
I love playing two-hand touch. Eating way too much, watching my team win with the
grab bag.
College football semifinals start tonight. Notre Dame and Penn State. I believe we have the game right here on WEEI.
What?
By the way, if you want to tune in and listen, you can. Who do you got tonight? Notre Dame?
I have Notre Dame. So I'm not going out on a limb.
The flu is running through Notre Dame's locker room.
The flu is?
The flu.
Oh, give me Penn State.
It's apparently all backups and special teamers, but
if it's Nikola Jokic, he'd sit out. Derek White would too. That's fair.
Give me the Nittany Lions.
Oh, I'm taking the hour. You want Nittany Lions straight up money line, or you want them with the points?
But what's the points up to?
It was 1.5 yesterday.
Oh,
I haven't checked today.
I'll take Penn State.
Yeah, take a little juice on the money line.
I'll take Penn State.
Okay. I guess we're at loggerheads here, Keith. Mm-hmm. I'm going Notre Dame. I didn't realize though the flu was ripping
through the
team.
You got to factor
that in. I hadn't. I'm still not going to.
7:30 kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
You all in on this?
I'll be watching this tonight for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'll flip in. Who is it? The Bruins are tonight against Tampa, but I'll be flipping in a little bit here and there, but I'll definitely watch this. I'm probably more interested in these than some of the wild card games.
All right.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, because I
G-R-A-B-B-A-G.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
How's that?
It lands the plane on that.
Bologna.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot says that he is confident with Kirk Cousins being the backup quarterback next year.
Yeah. I'd be okay
Chance.
Okay, I'd be okay with Kirk Cousins as my backup.
Yeah.
There's no chance Kirk Cousins is comfortable
with it.
You're
going to pay him $90 million or whatever it is? He's getting paid a ton.
He'll be a starting quarterback next year. It might be regrettable, but he'll be a starting quarterback next year.
The Raiders take him?
Well, I was going to say, where do you think he goes?
It depends on does Tom Brady like him? Does Tom Brady like him to bring him to the Raiders?
I don't know.
Who's going to still need a quarterback next year? The Raiders?
Yep.
And
Browns. Well, I mean, the Browns will draft one, I guess.
Yep. And I think the
Steelers.
The Titans probably just draft one.
Steelers are a good name. You see Rodgers linked there, here, and there. I wouldn't rule out Shanahan. I wouldn't rule out Shanahan one bit.
Oh, he finally gets his guy?
Shanahan loves him.
They're trying to work out a deal with Purdy, but they don't have one yet.
Hasn't been paid yet. Yeah. He's hurt. Supposedly, it's not a big deal, but I'll believe that when I see it. I'm sure that's coming from Purdy's side. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, no big deal, guys. Pay me the money. I'm not really hurt. I'm sure that's coming from Purdy's side. I wouldn't rule out Shanahan and Cousins at all.
Everybody loves it, and everybody knows it. Everybody loves
grab bag.
So I'm sure most people have been following this, but just horrible what's going on in California right now.
Terrible, yeah.
And as it relates to the sports world, they could move Minnesota LA if needed. So I guess there's some talk that the playoff game between the Vikings and the Rams could end up being pushed to Arizona if it has to be. But yeah, just some of the images that are coming out of there are insane.
Oh, the video,
scary.
I mean, the videos are horrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, it's getting a ton of publicity. I mean, one, because it's scary, but two, because it's, you know, a ton of celebrities living in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's scary. It's a cautionary tale too. Like, they had a good heads up on, you know, these conditions and this and that, and are you ready? They weren't ready, and now, yeah, maybe a playoff game is moving because of all of
that. I'm not sure when exactly they need to decide by, but that game is set for Monday night. That's the Monday night game, so I guess they have a little bit.
The NBA just postponed as of 22
Did
seconds
they?
Ago, Lakers Hornets.
Oh, I was going to say, the NHL postponed.
NHL Kings game.
Correct, yesterday. I didn't realize. So they move what? The Lakers and who?
Lakers Hornets game tonight postponed.
Okay. Mm.
Scary.
All right.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Grab bag.
All right, Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels have been active in the transfer portal.
Oh.
Bill's active now on Twitter following 3-star recruits. North Carolina, get this. They got UConn defensive lineman Price Yates.
They got Price Yates?
Yes, they did, Jones.
No way. I was waiting to see where he landed.
He was just named the defensive MVP of the Fenway Bowl. Against North Carolina.
So he
dominated in a sack.
Bill did this forever. Yeah. Wes Welker used to produce against the Patriots.
Thank
he's
you
like,
very much.
Give me that.
Yeah.
He's like, give me that. So that's what he was doing right now.
That's what he did. He's me that.
Scouting the Fenway Wasabi Bowl or whatever it was. And he said, give me that.
Yep. He got Price Yates.
Price Yates. Yeah.
Price Yates.
Yeah,
however.
Yeah. Related to Field?
Yes.
Who we found out Bill follows on Twitter.
Sure does. The Jim Mora, who's the UConn coach.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're aware of that. Not playoffs, but his son.
Yep.
He had this whole thing. Now, he didn't specifically name Bill Belichick or North Carolina, but he is fired up with tampering. He claims tampering.
Not Bill.
He says other teams are going after his coaches. He's calling cheating and shenanigans. And
no,
he was like,
not Bill.
He's like, well, it's a good sign for us that we've built up such a program. You have to cheat to beat us. Like, dude, you coach the UConn Huskies football team. Like, relax. But yeah, he was all hot and bothered. So
he's like, another basketball school stealing our football players?
So I'll call it right now. Yeah. Bill Belichick might get himself a college cheating scandal as well. He might check that
box. Quinn Ewers $6 million to go into the portal?
It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out.
Wait, say what?
Quinn Ewers was getting offered like $6 million to
go into
the portal.
Oh, I thought you were saying specifically from North not specifically from North Carolina.
Imagine if it was Bill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
So Jim Mora posted on Twitter.
Bill didn't want to pay Brady. You think he's going to pay Quinn Ewers?
Well, he has $20 million to spend.
Yeah, he's not going to spend it all on a quarterback, I can tell you that.
It's a different
Definitely
time.
Not Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
So Jim Mora was on Twitter,
uh-huh.
And he said, quote, a simple note to the schools and coaches that have blatantly broken at NCAA football rules.
At Belichick _B.
By tampering with our players in the last 24 hours. We do know who you are. We will pursue all avenues to hold you accountable.
Oh, boy.
We are excited that we've built a program where coaches have to cheat to beat us, and we will protect that program. Think hard before you tamper with our players.
So we have Deflategate, Spygate, Recruitgate. What are we going to call this one? What do we call it?
He also, maybe Recruitgate.
Yatesgate.
Yates-gate.
Nice guys.
He'll be the answer to the trivia question.
Yeah.
Jim Mora also said, we will expose any program and coach that violates. I'm 100% against grown men cheating the rules and teaching players horrible life lessons.
Nice.
Yeah, doesn't make you want to go play for Jim Mora?
UConn's totally not going to bring in any transfers,
no.
Right?
Ourselves a bona fide cheating scandal.
Thank you, Glenn.
I mean, Jim Mora, how does Jim Mora ever bring in another player through NIL or the transfer process when he's like this much of a baby about it?
It's pretty
like
crazy.
Bill, I'm sure Bill's cheating and trying to bring somebody in. That's Bill.
It's like, dude, you lost Bryce Yates.
What a baby. Well, it's the MVP of the Wasabi Fenway.
No, I get it.
Yeah. You're a man bag, Harry.
We have the second fan returns in the NBA All-Star voting.
Okay.
Jones, in the Eastern Conference, in the front court, Jason Tatum ranks?
Two?
Second.
Nice. That's Jaylen Brown. Last time, I think. Brown was top five last time. I'm going to say he picked up. He's three.
Fifth.
Still five. Okay.
Still five. Guards. Do they have any top 10 guards?
Yes. Derek White.
No.
He fell out?
Yeah, he's out.
Boy, he was in the top 10.
Well, he took one game off because he had a cold, and next thing you know,
scratchy throat.
He's out.
Fans are
so
ruthless.
Giannis, Tatum, Karl-Anthony Towns, top three front in the East. LaMelo Ball and Donovan Mitchell are the guards.
Ugh. I mean, Ball's
just killing it.
No, Ball's having a good year, but he's going to start the All-Star game?
Looks like it. He's got a bunch of votes. And then the Western Conference, Jokic, Durant, LeBron, and then the guards are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I know they're not doing East versus West, but that team's winning.
Yeah, that's probably what you got going. Speaking of the NBA, Jones.
Oh, my freaking God, Brendan! It's
grab bag.
Best NBA performers from last night. Jarrett Allen, big fella, 25, 11, and 6. Karl-Anthony Towns, 27, and 13. Damian Lillard, 26, 5, and 8. Jared Butler, 26, 4, and 7, and Jalen Williams from the Thunder, 25, 5, and 9.
So I would have gone with either of the Cavs bigs. You could have taken Allen or Mobley for me. I think they both went 20, 10, and 5 in the game. First time that's happened in a long time.
Pretty good.
Both players did that on the same team.
The Twin Towers.
And they beat the Thunder.
Yeah.
That was two awesome teams. Potential.
Yeah, Cavs are killing it.
NBA Finals preview. Probably not.
No.
But I'll go with Jared Allen.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, today we have an outfielder who would switch hit.
Oh.
He was a one-time All-Star, and he played for the following teams. Cleveland, the Dodgers, Oakland, Montreal, Seattle, Texas, the Cubs, and the Padres. That was a 12-year career where, what was that, a million teams?
Yep.
12 years. Never played longer than 3 years with one city. Played the most games with the Cleveland Indians.
Who's next?
Looks like the Dodgers. Oh, no, I take it back. Played the most games with the Dodgers in two seasons, and over three seasons, a close second was Cleveland.
Okay.
So Dodgers and Indians, he spent most of his time with.
Now I'm thrown off.
Yeah.
I don't think I had it before, but I'm definitely now picturing totally different players. Yep. Okay.
A one-time All-Star.
Uh-huh.
Where he finished 17th in the MVP that year.
17th. Wow. Yeah.
2008. He cracked into the majors with Montreal in 2000, and his last game was with Seattle in 2011.
Oh, my gosh.
So he played from 2000 to 2011.
One All-Star with who?
Yeah.
One-time All-Star with...
Which team?
Texas.
Oh, boy.
The guy was all over the map.
Oh, boy.
He was all over the map.
Okay. Give me a profile. Was he going to swipe you a bag, or was he going to swat you a home run?
He won 20 home run season. His All-Star year, he had 22 taters.
Man.
His career high in steals was a different year. He had 17.
Milton Bradley. Is that right?
He got it.
Wow. How about that?
Game ready, Milton Bradley.
How about that?
That's a good get.
Wow, I got to be honest.
He broke in that early?
I had nothing until we started talking through all the teams and then knowing what team he was an All-Star for helped.
Yeah, Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley?
I remember him with Cleveland mostly.
Me too.
I thought he was like only on Cleveland.
I thought he was
for everybody.
I thought he would swipe you bags.
No.
I guess I remembered him as a real bag swiper. Not
as a better player than he was.
Yeah, if you asked me Milton Bradley, did he make an All-Star team, I would have said more than one.
In Texas, that year, his OPS was .999.
Nice.
It's crazy. But
so he only hit 20 home runs once?
Yeah, 22 bombs that year. So he's probably clean as a whistle, this guy.
Arcan did not text that one. Bearcross 213 keeps guessing the same name every day. It is not Johnny you-know-who.
No.
Let's
career
see.
Career
people are
earnings.
Saying, oh, yeah, E from Brockton got Milton Bradley. I think the text line got it as well, so good job. Yeah.
Career earnings for Milton Bradley.
$20 million.
$48.2 million. He's probably doing all right. He got his legs kicked up somewhere.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Milton Bradley.
Yep.
Very much a random baseball player.
That hits the mark.
Every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line there. Get in touch with WEEI Afternoons. They have Tommy Curran at 3:30. We'll see what else they have coming up. And if you missed some of our phone calls earlier today, we'll get to them in clip du jour next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe WEEI, and it's time now for the clip du jour. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, we tried going on the clock again. We had our Fill Out the Patriots coaching staff in 60 seconds. You and I both went. And then we opened the door up to the listener. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, not to be narcissist, but
no, we
30
get more,
seconds is probably plenty.
It's our show. We get more time than you. Yeah. You don't get as much time as we do.
Now, it was going great until a couple people forgot the basic rules of no swearing.
Well, we didn't warn them, in fairness.
No, we didn't.
But
we just said, call in with your plans. Yeah. Apparently, these plans involved swearing. So here we go.
Ready? Sean in Canada, you're on the clock.
Canada?
Well, for now. It's soon to be America. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
You're on the clock, Sean.
Awesome. Here's a no bull plan. No.
What did he say?
There's a no BS plan is what he said.
Dump that.
Big Head Tony. Hello, Tony.
Big Head. What up, Big Head Tony?
Hey, what's up? The headliner here, I got for you here because I think so big. Listen, you guys are going to be head over heels. Sign.
Oh, you got him. Swear.
What is going on?
Were they back-to-back, or was there one person in between?
Those were back-to-back phone calls. There might have been a little chit-chat between you and I.
It was like 45 seconds.
I was saying, were back-to-back phone calls. You have a theory that it's contagious. The cursing is contagious.
I think it is. I feel like every time we've had one, we've actually had multiple. And then we'll go days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks with no dumping. And then, bang.
Listening back to it, it's actually shocking who cursed. Not just that
Big
we had
Head
callers.
Tony.
Big Head Tony.
And the Canadian.
Calls
Sign
and all the... And a nice... like, that one wasn't even close. And a nice, mild-mannered Canadian.
Yeah, it was outrageous to me.
Unbelievable.
It's really kind of sad.
We discussed earlier whether or not we've ever been dumped for actually cursing. I've been dumped for innuendo.
No, yeah.
Crossing a line. You ever been dumped for actually cursing over there, Hart?
Sure. Yeah, two Mondays ago at Gillette.
Not even a long
Have
time
I
ago.
Ever? Yeah,
just
no.
It was,
yeah,
I was too comfortable.
It was almost 2025.
Good sign,
I
did, though.
Yeah. I was explaining that I thought there should be no issue with delay of game penalties in the NFL. Just treat it like the NBA and make the goalpost light up when it goes to zero. And I said the effing goalpost for some reason.
this is a little
referee
too
thing. He's got a referee thing. That's what it is. Referee official thing. That's where you went there.
I feel like I was just like in that, like, talking with the boys.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Yeah.
Now, when you podcast, do you mix in swears or do you keep it clean for the podcast?
No, we swear occasionally.
Yeah, so that can be tricky because
but
it's
don't
the same
force
scenario.
It.
Oh no, you don't
yeah,
want to
podcast
be ridiculous.
Brain versus on air brain.
But
yeah.
like you're
yeah.
still like there's still yeah. like it's on you're on mm-hmm. and it's not just like a normal conversation like mm-hmm. with somebody.
Right.
But to turn it on and off, I don't know.
It's like I just listened to Bradfoe's podcast with Cora driving in. There was
Cora
a couple
swearing?
Swears in there. Cora had a swear, Bradfoe had a swear.
Wow.
You don't want to force it though.
No,
I think some people try
tell.
To be edgy and are like, I'm a podcaster. No. Or at least a couple years ago, that was a thing.
Yeah,
maybe that's
yeah.
faded a little.
No, I'm stern.
Yeah,
I try to,
yeah.
like, yeah, you want to use it for, like, comedic effect, not for, like, ooh, this guy's a bad boy.
Or
yeah.
emphasis. No, emphasis, too. I think emphasis.
Yeah,
I,
but
the great Paul Perillo always told me when you're
I use
a
it,
parent, it's for emphasis.
I use it in
oh,
real life.
Smart.
I use it in a real
maybe
life.
Not you just yet.
No.
How old is your daughter?
Well, so she does have a little bit of a problem with that.
She swears?
And, yes. And so she said, so she's five. And
she's five?
Yeah. And so Santa was good. We had a good Christmas. And we kept, you know, as we're getting closer to Christmas, we're like, you know, you got to be good. Like, Santa's watching. So at the end of the morning, like, we'd open presents. And she's like, I guess Santa doesn't really care about potty words. And I was like, Santa
wow.
does. Santa
she
does.
Calls. She's learned
yeah.
that.
Bluff.
Yeah.
Is she a word police with you guys if you ever let anything slip? Even if it's like not a bad word, but it'd be bad for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, she would do that before. She'd be like, Mom.
Yeah.
And usually, for the record, it's more Mom than it is Dad.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, probably driving, too.
No, but
driving can be a thing. Sitting in the back seat, they hear everything.
But yeah. I agree, but I have an easy explanation why. I don't even think we're throwing wives under the bus.
No,
it's just our
they
job.
Cuss more.
Our job. Yeah, well, they're worse parents, obviously. I mean, they're worse at raising children.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, specifically to us and you, Andy.
Yeah, we talk for so long.
We're used to editing ourselves constantly that I'm pretty good at doing it around a kid. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can we get back to your daughter? Which swears does she use?
Did we hear him with our calls today?
She said that before, but that's out.
She says the F-bomb at 5?
Well, no, not like regularly.
In proper context?
Well, it was funny. It was like one of those things. This was like a year ago.
It's Keith's daughter.
At 4? Yeah. So anyway, she was like at the
good point.
So this is, no, she's cleaned it up.
She doesn't do it anymore. She did it as a 4-year-old.
I haven't heard it in a while.
She's matured.
But it was funny. She was telling me a story about, she's like, so-and-so knows like bad words. And I'm like, oh, yeah. What are they? And so she's like, well, so-and-so, this is back at like preschool. They're on the playground. She's like, well, so-and-so said like stupid. I'm like, not a good one.
Nice.
Then like somebody else said like hate or like another word that like we don't want her to say
a lot, but it's something like bad words.
She was like, time out for
she's
hate.
Like, I told him I knew one. I was like, you did? And she was like, yeah. And then just straight up F word. And I was like, yep, that would take the cake out of those three. I go, let's not use any
of those.
That's
pretty high on the list.
I was like, let's not use any of those.
Drop the mic. Yeah. Win the playground.
No, now she's just, it's more of like a, like, I don't even know if it's a swear or not, but she says Jesus Christ, like if something like falls, like she's a big like, or like if her sister bumps into her or something, she's like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, let's not at school do that, please. She's like, no, I know. I'm like,
no, just here.
Like, do you?
Yeah. Like,
so she kind of
said you were
called
dropping F-bombs on the playground. You know?
Yeah, I know.
It's not a good
sign. She kind of called the bluff of Santa and the original meaning of Christmas all at once.
Yeah, all together. Yeah.
Jesus.
We can't use it that way.
She's and then like, you know what? Your other daughter is going to pick up on it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like 100%. Some of
follow
and,
the leader.
Yeah, and now it's like poop talk, and you're like, all right, we don't need to hear the poop talk.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
And like ours too. I mean, it is high comedy to me, but
yeah,
probably I don't want the 2-year-old then saying that at daycare because then we're going to get thrown out of there.
Yeah, I don't want to get yelled
that's
at
what I told
by
her
the
too.
Daycare.
I go, Cece, you got to listen.
Yeah, I don't care that
I
you
don't care
say
if
it,
you say it.
But don't get me in trouble.
If Georgie starts saying it, we're going to have to look for a new daycare.
She's you like, don't want to leave all your friends.
Yeah, you can't do that. She's like, I guess.
Good point, Dad. You got me there.
I know.
But she's going to be in school soon. Then that goes out the window. You can't even use that.
No, I know.
Yeah, but then they can't kick her out of school either. They're like, they gotta take your kid.
Well, now at kindergarten, I mean, what the stuff they're saying to each other, who knows?
Yeah,
that's the Wild West.
Learning a lot.
Yep.
Quick.
Two days on the bus.
Sirius XM radio over there.
Yep.
It's
a wild scene.
It is a wild scene indeed. Curran every once in that on TV. He'll,
Oh, yeah.
They used to do that. Like,
they were
regularly.
Blue.
Yeah.
Oh, when they did the long late night
first
show.
First started that 9 to midnight show. It was
comfortable. You were sitting on chairs.
What is this?
Comedy Central? No, they did stop that.
Just for the better.
You guys have Curran today is my
point. We do 3:30 Curran, 4:30 Scal.
All right.
Quiz with Stiz. Huge
Quiz
day.
With Stiz today?
Nice. Yes.
Nice.
It's quiz
trending
with Stiz.
Towards the most popular part of our show, which I don't know what that says.
just take it as a positive.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for all of it. You got WEEI Afternoons. Good stuff with Schefter yesterday. More with Curran today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.